In the book of Isaiah, there's a number of scriptures that I think perfectly describe our human soul. Describe it as a desert, a wilderness. And if you look at our thoughts and our emotions without God's presence, it's a pretty dry place. In Isaiah 35, it says, out of the wilderness water will gush, and there will be streams in the desert. We fight so hard to change the landscape of our soul. And that's really not what God is focused on. Amen. Out of this human vessel that he's created, the miracle of his grace is living water, the Spirit flows. We want to change what we are to be more presentable. God, turn my desert into a national park, forest, tropical beach. Don't leave it dry. We're not looking the right direction. So many people fill churches today because they love that message of self-improvement, a better version of you. It appeals to us. But God's not asking for that. He said, just believe. The way you are, human, you don't accept, but I accept you that way. And in that human vessel, my glory, my living water is going to flow. It's a miracle, isn't it? Water shouldn't gush out of a wilderness. It only happens when God appears. That's our destiny, for God to appear through our lives as we are, and for the world to see his glory. When Jesus was coming to the home of Mary and Martha, Martha was very concerned about the home being presentable. And that part of us is always there. Jesus, you're going to appear, you're coming forth in my life. I got to work on myself. I got to be a better version of me. I got to do more. I got to strive. Yet all Jesus was looking for was the part of us that's Mary. He was simply looking for the heart that would sit at his feet. Why? Why did Jesus need attention, human attention? No. Jesus carried with him the Father. And the only way that people could be exposed to who the Father is was to be humble before him, to sit at his feet, so the Father's love could touch their lives. You know, he loved Martha just as much as he loved Mary. But I think we waste a lot of time and energy trying to make our house more beautiful when we just need to be focused on the one that's coming to be with us. We just need to be with his, in his presence. John chapter 12, there's a verse that says, unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. This is how transformation takes place in us, how rivers of life flow through us. Remember Jesus said, the great day of the feast, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of life. And we're always looking at that innermost being and saying it's not acceptable. And God is saying, you're focusing the wrong way. Out of that innermost being, no matter what you see, my Spirit is going to flow. But the process is difficult for us because it's like the grain of wheat. When God invades our life, he plants himself and we feel him being buried. Being buried is not a comfortable or pleasant feeling. It's painful. We feel that God has gone somewhere and we've got to dig him out, that we're not spiritual enough, that he's lost. No. There's got to be that identification with the cross. Just like Jesus had to be buried before he was resurrected, we have to go through and process these feelings. And when we're going through the time of the cross, when that word is in us and we don't see the fruit of it, we're feeling alone. Well, Jesus felt alone on the cross. We're feeling helpless. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And at the same time, the only thing we can do is commit our spirit to God as he did. What happens to that seed? It produces fruit. And out of this frail and human nature that we have, with all the problems that we have, comes forth the glory of God, the river of life that flows. He doesn't ask us to change ourselves. He asks us to believe in what he's doing in us and allow his word to do the work. In John chapter 11, Jesus heard that his friend Lazarus was sick. And again, it points out that he was friends with Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And his disciples said, "Jesus, you got to move. Come on. Lazarus is sick and you got to go heal him." Because at that point, they knew he had the power to heal the human body of illness. Jesus listened to the Father, and he knew that he wasn't to go then. He waited two more days. I don't know if we realize how difficult this must have been for him, because this was his friend, and he knew what people expected of him. People expect a healer to heal. And people would think that God was late on it because he knew Lazarus was going to die. And he knew, because he saw what the Father was doing, he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But how difficult it must have been knowing that those that loved him would not understand this process and would have such difficulty with it. When he came and Lazarus had died, both first Martha encountered him and then Mary. They said the same thing. "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." If that doesn't sum up the torment of the human soul, of our mind, that one sentence, "If only, Lord, if only you had answered my prayer the way I asked. If only you had helped me turn right instead of my going left. If only you had shown up 2 days earlier when I wanted you to." The human mind cries out in agony. That's our soul, the dryness. If only. And Jesus looks at Martha and says, "I'll raise him up again." And that's how we respond to God, as the way Martha did. He responds spirit to spirit, and that's scary for us. You know, the presence of God is hard for us to handle.
Right.
It's so authentic, and we're learning to be, but we're not there yet. And like Adam and Eve, we try to play hide and seek with God, his presence. One of the greatest hiding places from God is religion. Oh, that's just hide behind the scriptures, hide behind church, hide behind your ministry. "Yes, Jesus, I know on the last day you'll raise him up." Great theology. He goes, "I am the resurrection. I'm not talking about the future. I'm going to raise him up right now." And Jesus did just that. He did what their minds were not prepared to happen. What they could not expect or believe for. They believed he could heal, but nobody there had faith that he would raise Lazarus from the dead. And he did it. And by doing that, and all the pain of Mary and Martha and the questions of their mind, and you imagine the torment they lived through when their brother died and wondering why Jesus hadn't been there on time. All of a sudden, that torment turns into this fruitfulness and a new revelation that Jesus is more than just a healer. He's the Son of God. He's greater than death. The love that he carries is stronger than death. And he looks around and he tells him one thing. He says, "You see that guy walking around with all his grave clothes? Go unwrap him." The end result of letting God work in us and bring forth something new. You know, in our hearts, we welcome it. With our flesh, we resist it. Let's be honest. But God is stronger. His love is stronger. And when he births that new thing and a revelation penetrates our mind that you're not the God of the past, you're not the God of the just the God of the past or the future, but your presence is now. Amen. That's what Jesus was saying. Resurrection is not about a day, some day ahead. Resurrection is who I am. I want you to encounter me. All of a sudden, religion begins to fade away, and we experience more and more that living in his presence. And our response to that life is what? We do. Remember, Jesus gave one commandment. What did he say? "Love one another the way I've loved you." And that's what unwrapping the grave clothes is. The only way we can respond to what God can do, what we can't do, is resurrect life. Only he does that. He resurrects his life within us, And then we look at each other and we love one another. We unwrap the grave clothes so that we can see that gem, that we can see that treasure of Christ in one another. If only, as that question arises in your soul as you look at your life and your journey, realize that God's not going to answer your mind and satisfy your mind with an answer to that. He's going to meet you by his presence and show you a side of himself that you've never seen before. And when you see the greater reality, that question of if only fades in the background and no longer becomes a torment. Amen. Lord bless you.